How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. with Jim Valley on Saturdays, and Sundays, 6 p.m. East with me. It's from my buddy Lance. I know I'm going to get yelled at in about, I don't know, 45 minutes. I'll get yelled at by Lance Storm, but it's okay. It's Sunday. It's a beautiful day here in New York. Beautiful evening here in New York. And boy, do we have a lot of wrestling to talk about. You know, the last couple of weeks, all we've covered really has been just reviews of the pay-per-views. We had Survivor Series happening. AEW had a pay-per-view. There's been a lot of coverage for these pay-per-views. But today we're going to talk about the news, which I'm thrilled. I don't like doing the reviews with you guys. It's too much. I want to talk so much. I run out of time. Brian does a way better job at those reviews. I'm just going to be here talking about the news. But there is a lot of news to talk about. ROH Final Battle coming up. Excited for the show. We might finally find out what's happening with their TV situation. The pay-per-view's lining up. Matt's going to be covering a lot of this. A lot of rumors regarding The Rock possibly being number 30 at the Royal Rumble. Last week, we were speculating how they could get themselves out of this Roman Reigns holding both titles hole. If Cody's, you know, who beats Roman? How do they do this? Is it Cody? Is it Dwayne? What do you do with this? So we're going to be talking about that. NXT's new match concept that is really bonkers. I want to take time and kind of break into this. AEW's ratings were down. Lowest of 18 to 49 in 2022. And also the William Regal speculation. This has been wild. 3-year contract, but he looks like he's out. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm seeing. But we're going to talk about all of this and a whole lot more when we come back from our quick break. Joining me, Matt Ryan from Catalyst Wrestling. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here, Sunday edition on Sports Byline. Joined by Matt Ryan. How you doing, Matt?
Hello. I'm doing great. It's a great time in pro wrestling, and it's a great time to subscribe to StreamCatalystWrestling.com and get a free 2 weeks.
There we go. Thank you for
Boom!
That. And when is your pay-per-view?
First sentence!
When is your pay-per-view? Well, you get that out of the way.
Our next event is January 22nd at the Bell House. You can go to tinyurl.com/rockthebellhouse. That's tinyurl.com/rockthebellhouse. You can watch Alex Shelley versus Darius Carter right now at streamcatalystwrestling.com. And also, Matt Men, next Saturday, UFC 282, will be on the YouTube channel calling the fights and doing the yelling and having the drinking. But
thank you.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes.
Fake presidential candidate, movie star. A man who is we're reliving 1997 WWF on NBC right now, and it's jarring.
Okay, so I haven't seen any of it. I did see the clip on Twitter. Everybody sent this, and I was like, couldn't they have done a better job at the ring? Where did they get that flimsy rope, you know, terrible indie ring?
I believe in estate sale.
I mean, they could have gotten the big WWE ring, you know?
They called Harvey Whippleman and said, "Hey, Harvey, you got any Bruno? You got any rings?"
Yeah,
Dwayne Dewey, I'll get them over to you.
That's how they did it. So the Rock Royal Rumble rumors are starting, speculating here. You know, this is the time, right? Everybody's speculating on how they're going to get to Roman and Rock. If they're getting to Roman and Rock, how does Cody play a part in this? Did you hear? We're going to get a big, beefy Cody. Cody's like he's going for 240 pounds.
I get coming off a torn pec like that. That's a dangerous game, despite the fact that I've never studied sports medicine in my life. But history has shown the more vascular you are. Hold on, I said that wrong. The more vascular you are, the more likely you are to tear things and get things hurt. And this could be the wear and tear over time. And when you're on a WWE schedule, I guess the bulk will help, especially with taking bumps. But yeah, it's an interesting pivot for Cody. We've seen him grow significantly. Like, if you look at Cody when he started, Cody 5 years ago, and Cody now, you're seeing a much bigger, bulkier athlete. And
yeah,
it
sure
might do him better. It might do better for him, but coming off a torn pec like that, I'm not sure that's the optimal thing.
I don't know.
But
maybe
it could just be
He's
an athlete. I'm a fat man in a hockey jersey on the internet. So he's going to know more than me.
Big time. I like to pretend I'm an athlete. I was at one point. Not anymore. Everything's broken on me now. Everything's broken.
Oh, you win competitions every year.
Yes, I win the sexy legs contest on the cruise ships every year. I got beautiful calves. I don't know if you've seen this. But let's talk about this. I want to talk about The Rock.
The Wrestling Observer Award should just be your calf. But yeah, The Rock allegedly, per Dave Meltzer, is a pie. Our own Dave
Meltzer. Well, we don't know. No, we don't know. No, Dave is reporting the initial. Dave reported what was reported.
Yes.
I don't know.
Pie in the sky is the possibility, yeah.
And I don't know. See, here's the thing, right? He's not going in there doing 20 minutes in the Rumble, right? So it's going to be a number 30 moment. You got to be very careful how you do this number 30 moment, because we saw, you know, what's happened in the past with some of these guys that have debuted at number 30. Batista booed out the freaking building. Poor Rey Mysterio that year booed out the building.
It's circumstantial and situational. Like, if Cody's not ready, you need an ace in the hole. And I can't think of a better ace in the hole than the biggest movie star on the planet.
I'm going to go with the assumption that Cody is ready.
If Cody is ready by the Rumble, you have to do... If you end up with Rock and Roman, you need to do an angle. And you need to set someone up to be Cody's dance partner at Mania. It could be... It can't be Edge, because you can't turn him back heel now. But what about Judgment Day? A Cody-Finn Balor feud would be very interesting,
title,
even though there would be...
For the title?
Not for the title, but if you're doing Rock and Roman, or if Rock and Roman is your number 30 possibility, or if Cody's ready by the Rumble, do Cody and Roman at the Rumble.
I see. I don't think you need The Rock in the Rumble. There is such a natural storyline between Roman and The Rock that... You don't need that to happen. Again, this is a speculating part, right? You got
Cody, to prove a point.
Dwayne coming in and challenging for the title. Okay, do I love it? I don't love it. I really don't think it's necessary. It's not adding more for me. Maybe it's adding more for you, more believability, however you want to look at it. But let's break the scenario down, right? You got Roman Reigns that has become the most dominant champion that they have had. I think he has surpassed the Brock Lesnar run at this point as dominant because he's there more.
I have a question. Can Suncast look up when Raw 30 is as opposed to the Rumble?
January 16th.
Because I have a scenario in my head that might work.
January 16th, I believe. We'll find out here. Is it January 16th? Yeah, I think it's January 16th.
So is the
or
Rumble
January
23rd
or January? I don't know. One of those. MG could find
it. Yeah, just... If but Raw let me get 30 is before the Rumble.
Let me break this down, right? So, Roman has two titles right now. They could do something wonky where Roman, you know, Dwayne doesn't want the WWE title. He wants the Universal title. You know, now you're in a conundrum because Roman is so dominant. I don't think Rock should be the one that beats him for the titles. You want to make another Drew McIntyre-like situation, and we say this all the time, Drew got screwed by global events more than anything else, out of his hands. He was supposed to become, you know, the Kingslayer. January 23rd is Raw 30, by the way. So you have another opportunity here to create a top babyface, believable babyface that defeats Roman Reigns. Should that go to The Rock? I don't think so. I think The Rock should be a passing of the torch moment for Roman. Roman should beat The Rock and tell that story, and he could do the old man Hulk Hogan handshake where he holds his gut and, you know, he's like doing this handshake with Roman. That's how I see that match playing out. I think it's very organic. I think it's a great story, and regardless of The Rock losing or winning, I think people are going to have a good moment going into that. With that said, you got two titles.
Yeah.
On this guy. You know, I don't know how they'll take it off. I don't know if they want to take it off. Is one champion better than two? If that's the case, then you should have one title. I know that they love, by the way, they absolutely love that Roman is dripping in gold, right? But if you're not going to split those titles up, there's no point in those two titles. You can have one undisputed world heavyweight champion and you call it a day. I hate that Universal name. Now, Should it be Cody? I don't know. I think his reaction is going to matter. I think him showing up at the Rumble, if he not, or if he does, that's going to play a big part in it. But, you know, I'm not against part-timers. I'm not against the big established names coming in. But if you're hearing Austin's also wrestling and Rock is now also going to wrestle, let's say this happens, you have a great attraction for night one. You have a great attraction for night two. Obviously, night two would be Roman and Dwayne. But you got to also tell the story of that title. And you have to make that title matter, because the last 1,000 days, almost 1,000 days, it has really mattered that this guy is the undisputed world champion. They've told you that he's unbeatable. Nobody could come close to beating him under any circumstances. Should it be The Rock at the end? I don't think so.
So, thank you, MG Geek, our producer, for finding this out. The Raw 30 is the go-home for the Rumble. And this gave me the idea that on Raw 30, Roman Reigns does a State of the Bloodline address or something to set up for his match at the Royal Rumble. Basically inferring there's been 30 years of Raw, but there's been no one in 30 years quite like the head of the table. Do all of this set up that no legend will ever get a shot at me for just being a legend. It gives you the Iggy that, oh, something might happen at the Rumble. Yeah. Something you set it up. Number 30, Dwayne comes out, gets the win. You figure out a way to get Cody with Austin or someone else, because that could be a match that happens, and there's a lot of reasons that that match could happen and should happen, and even set Austin up to be a heel in that match. There's a lot of different things that you could take from real life. But having The Rock being able to say, I had to earn it. So I went out there and earned it. You think you're going to come into Hollywood, come into the big town, come into Los Angeles, my city, and think that you're the big dog? You have so many things you could tie into with California and Samoan wrestling history, so many different things. You can have that debate, and you can have that passing of the torch moment, and Cody can win it at SummerSlam. It's not a matter of if, but when with Cody.
Yeah.
And I think you really need to reestablish him and reengage him with the audience, because his run was so hot, but it burnt out so quick because he got hurt.
Hey, we're going to a quick break here, Matt. We got to go to a quick break. Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday edition. I want to talk about this William Regal situation. This is this kind of came out of nowhere, but also unsurprising. So on Dynamite, MJF turned on Regal, and he was carted off in an ambulance. You saw that Bryan Danielson played a part in this. He came out to the ring, and then you saw other footage where he got in the ambulance with him. So Dave stated that he was still under contract for 3 years, but something was not right. On Thursday, Fightful reported that the talent believed that Regal's contract could be up this month. And before War Games, Triple H tweeted a meme of Regal screaming, "War Games." Now, from everything that I am hearing, it looks like Regal's going back there in an office position. Now, I don't know if this is some sort of restriction on him being on TV or not, but it looks like he's headed back to WWE in an office position. I think Dave mentioned this with Garrett on Observer Radio also this morning. This is very interesting. So was it a clause in his contract? Did he always have this agreement? Is this something, you know, he's unhappy? There was a report that EC3 put out that was a quote online saying that Regal had an issue with the level of maturity in the back within management in the company. You know, Regal is a very professional guy. This guy's been around the wrestling business forever. He's really not nonsense around him doesn't really go well. Did you see that video of him talking about foot positioning in NXT?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
What a fascinating video, right?
So many times.
You know what? An amazing mind, first of all, but WWE definitely will benefit from it. AEW was benefiting from having him there. This seems a little abrupt. You know, Hunter and him are friends. You always want to be where you want to be. I think him getting released from WWE was a big mistake to begin with. I think a lot of people agreed on this. But this is playing out in a very strange way. And when you see people that have long-term deals that no longer want to be somewhere, that's a problem.
I think that the next 3 months between now and the build to Mania is going to be Triple H's end of Godfather 1 moment. Because we've seen he's basically everything leading up to January has been him handling and cleaning up some of the business and just trying to get an appraisal of where he is. This is his, Michael had to go to Italy for a while and figure himself
Michael.
Out until the heat was down.
Is it true?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah. But sans car explosions, Triple H has just basically been trying to get things in shape for the start of next year. And I think next year we're going to start to see the true totality of Triple H's power in the WWE from the top down. Because yeah. I think when you've seen new regimes come into the business, whether it's a booking regime or a new ownership group or new management, the ones that have been the most effective have been the ones where it's been a natural transition. It has not been a stark, sharp, complete 180. WCW with the new blood and the resetting of the titles and hitting the restart button bombed. It was a complete washout. If you watch Historically Speaking, my show on the Mat Men channel, I talk about how Georgia Championship Wrestling and the World Championship Wrestling show on TBS, as soon as it came into WWF hands in that sharp 180, they lost ratings, became the third most watched wrestling show on TBS, or tied for second with Championship Wrestling from Georgia.
Yeah.
So taking a WWE, looking at history and applying the things that worked with new power and new regimes and new ownership ostensibly, and not doing what they did at the invasion and hot-shotting everything and blowing it sky high, has served them very well so far. And I think we're going to start to see more of the wheels turning and more of those big changes that everybody wanted as we head into January, February, March. I could see NXT going over a complete ideological overhaul and everything. Well, the independent wrestling scene may not be safe.
No, I'll tell you, I know that they are looking at indies again. That concept that they're only going to do, you know, athletes and the NIL program, and a lot of people were freaking out that they're no longer going to look at the indies. That's not true. They are going to look at the indies. There's tremendous talent on the indies. You know, that mentality that they once had, actually, they've always had this mentality, right? That you get a lot of bad habits everywhere except for WWE. That's how they've always seen it. You know, we saw that in the 2000s, in the late 2000s, when you had the cookie cutter FCW, you know, program that came out that was very beneficial for them. You know, they were able to get major stars out of there. NXT turned into something they never intended it to become, and to become a full-fledged, you know, secondary promotion in the United States that was comparable as far as, you know, talent went to any other company out there. They essentially became an upgraded Ring of Honor. They took talent from everywhere. AEW has taken that role away from them as a secondary organization. However, you know, they have contracts. They have NXT on, you know, essentially primetime TV every Tuesday for 2 hours. You got to do something a little more than guys that nobody really knows and just characters. I know you're getting them ready for the main roster, but you need to inject what you were doing a couple years prior. NXT 2016, 17, 18, even 19 was on fire. It was a fantastic promotion that got, you know, gutted for a number of reasons. Their ideology changed.
What doesn't help is that they didn't have house shows again until recently.
They haven't done house shows. And how do you learn to work if you don't? You know, they have that Level Up NXT, which is, you know, the younger guys on there. But, you know, for a while you had guys like Keith Lee that were in NXT not really doing anything. And it was shocking to me. So, and then they moved everybody up way too early, right? Karrion Kross came up for no reason too early. I think Keith Lee could have benefited by being down there a little bit more. They brought Matt Riddle up. You know, they were trying all these things during the pandemic. It just didn't work out the way they wanted. So they totally did a 180 again and went back to the original concept of being developmental. That doesn't work on primetime TV. And when you have competition from AEW, that also takes away from this because there is better wrestling. You're no longer the wrestling product. Now you're just developmental. I think a guy like Regal will be able to fix that. Now, I have heard that they're looking at the indies again. I know that they're looking to up the talent in NXT again and kind of beef it up. My personal assumption, and this is a guess on my behalf, I wouldn't be shocked if TakeOver comes back next year with the way that they're kind of aligning and they're moving pieces again in that company. So, you know, Regal, I'm so disappointed if it is true that he was unhappy because of immaturity. I hope that's not the case, because that's something that you've heard over and over again, that these little issues were happening. You know, maybe he was like, listen, guys, it's just the end of the day, AEW's they're a new promotion and they have these growing pains. And it's disappointing to see a guy like William Regal that has the experience want to leave. Because you need those guys.
You certainly do. And it is a little disheartening to hear that if that is the case. But also, his son's in NXT. They've talked about NXT Europe, and there's a lot of opportunities there. There's a lot of different reasons why William Regal would want to go back to the WWE.
Sure.
You know, one of his best friends in the business is running the company now.
Listen, there's opportunities for him to work with his son. Listen, like, to Vince. You know, Vince gave him an opportunity when he was in a really bad place. You've heard those interviews. So obviously, listen, I'm big on loyalty. I'm loyal to a lot of people, especially Observer, right? I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going anywhere. I wouldn't want to go anywhere. I'm loyal here. If I leave, then that means that something happened.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Or someone threw a solid gold boat at you.
Like, that's possible too. A solid gold boot also will get me to leave. But you know, this changes a lot of things here. Mm-hmm.
Very quickly before we go to break, I do want to the NXT problem. I think turning Level Up into a Saturday morning TV style show, or partnering with indies like they did in the 2000s, whether it was MC, you know, Memphis or Deep South or Ohio Valley Wrestling or Heartland Wrestling Association, where John Moxley came from, and Les Thatcher, finding independent promotions or finding promotions that are TV ready, that can train guys, that can have them work with solid independent veterans.
They'll never do that again. Because that's where the bad habits came from, is training facilities.
Well, if you have people there who can teach them the good habits, or have relationships to where you're able to do that, and also just for them to get reps in the ring is the most important thing for me. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about, Andrew, and I think we're heading towards a break. But when we come back, what do we got going on?
Well, we got another 2 minutes here.
Oh, I'm stupid. I'm just gonna go jump out the window.
I think your timing is off. It's okay. Listen, 2 minutes early. You're calling. You want to go home. You can't go home yet.
But what do you think about having a Saturday morning show that is just because they have Peacock and they can do whatever they want on the app? They have the run of that.
No, listen, I love that. And you know what? Maybe we learned something here by the Saudi show being on at, you know, 12 in the afternoon on a Saturday. People like to watch. It was the most watched show that I think over a million people watched that show, right? It was some bonkers number. I love that. And I'll tell you why, because it kind of like unlocked some memory in my head that, you know, it was 12 o'clock, time for wrestling. It's Saturday afternoon, time for wrestling. Historically, that's what we grew up with. That's what I grew up with prior to the Monday Night Raw era. Even during the Monday Night Raw era, you had Challenge, you had Superstars, you had Mania. There was always wrestling on the weekends. Why shouldn't there be wrestling on the weekends? Move that to a Saturday afternoon on Peacock. Freaking fantastic. Love it. Big fan of that. I think AEW should do the same.
And also, you can use it. Get a local TV station in Florida and teach these guys how to cut local promos. Because there's a value in that. I don't mean to sound like old wrestling McGee, but there's a value in giving these guys bullet points and allowing them to find their characters and work off of somebody. Trying to teach them how to sell an event, to sell Saturday night, Fort Pierce Armory, Bell Time 7, You're Facing X. It allows you to figure
Civic
out
Center.
Who you are.
We're coming to White Plains to the Mid-Hudson Civic Center on January 14th. you know, like, okay, cool. I'm into that.
Because that's how some of the best, that's how the Four Horsemen became a thing. It was a local promo.
Listen,
selling a show in Charlotte.
Now. You're dating yourself. Everything is national now. Everything is national. Guys, when we come back, we have a lot more to talk about. Obviously, AEW Dynamite. Ring of Honor final battle coming up in a couple of weeks here. Very interesting card. Let's see what happens here. But Wrestling Observer Live, we'll be right back after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition. Ring of Honor final battle coming up next Saturday on pay-per-view, live from Dallas, Texas, 4 p.m. pay-per-view. Then you have an NXT show following this. Then you got UFC. So it's going to be a very busy Saturday. Things going to be busy for you, Matt, because you're covering that UFC pay-per-view also, right?
Certainly am. Yeah, so UFC 282 live.
Busy, yeah, busy day. Batman. But I want to talk about this show because, you know, there's a lot sitting on this Ring of Honor show. A lot of speculation that we're finally going to get an idea of where they're headed. Tony has been working very hard at this deal, wherever they end up. And I would assume that everybody had envisioned that there would be something already in place. This has been going on for a while. I don't know what their 2023 plan looks like if they're only going to do these quarterly pay-per-views for Ring of Honor. I don't know if that makes any sense for an entire year not to have TV, but it looks like they're heading into some sort of TV. Antonio said he didn't want to make this like a digital YouTube show. He wanted to make this an actual valuable asset for them, which I agree with. However, look at this card. Big card here.
Yeah.
Big card. You got Swerve in Our Glory versus Shane Taylor. And who's he facing? It's Shane and who?
Shane Taylor Promotions. I'm not sure who the partner's going to be. It could be O'Shea JD, Edwards.
No, it's JD. Why is my brain freezing? MG, do you know? Who did they announce on Rampage? JD Griffey. There you go. That's it. There you go. Thank you. So, interesting. I guess this is going to be the story of the Swerve and Our Glory falling apart. A lot of people were freaking out online. They had no idea who Shane Taylor was.
Well, this is a chance for them to introduce you to it. Also, yeah, it's for Ring of Honor fans who know who he is. Like, I think we're getting too caught up in the minutiae of things. Like, everybody wants a video package to explain things and get all this stuff. Like, people were complaining about the Hangman Page, John Moxley. Like, why didn't they do a video package or tell how to set it up? It was the last big angle Hangman Page was involved in. They set it up with Moxley saying, the last time you stepped to me, it did not go well for you. That should be enough, where you don't need everything to be explained and told to you. Yeah. People complain about video packages.
They did complain about that. I forgot they complained about the Hangman stuff, too. I get that.
They'll complain about it in WWE when they're trying to reestablish stuff, and WWE's based on a rhythm and a cadence that's been kind of sacrosanct for 25 years, and reestablishing stuff for quarter hours on top of the hours, because that's how a television show works, especially when you're a sports or information broadcast. It's how the sports world works. If you don't know. But things happen in real time and people miss things, or people don't watch on DVR. So the WWE's audience skews older, wrestling skews older, so people are watching in real time. And not everything in storytelling is going to be perfect, but I think the booker not having to over-explain in one of the top blocks of the show a story involving two of the main characters for the last year, one of them was essentially a pay-per-view angle that played out on TV. Like, people in wrestling just want to complain for the sake of complaining.
I think that exists. I think some of it is justifiable. Listen, the way that I see it is everybody views wrestling in a very different way. Everybody watches for something different. Now, are the complaints valid? Sure, your opinions are always valid, but it becomes such a pile-on that, like, I don't mind that Shane Taylor was on Rampage setting up an angle, because you're introducing him to the TV, and I'm sure they'll do something this week to kind of educate you even further. You also have this match.
Also,
look at
it
this.
Allows you to go down a rabbit hole. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but this is a thing that kind of bothers me, and you've struck a nerve, and I get a national microphone once a week, so I'm going to kind of use it.
Use it, please.
Doesn't seeing someone, oh, who is this person? Let me look them up. On YouTube, there's a ton of Shane Taylor matches online. You can look into his character, his personality. It allows you to do a thing that I don't think you should do with certain things, but with wrestling you can. Look into things. Try to find, potentially, what works best for you, and find, you can go down a rabbit hole and find other stuff. That's how you find things you enjoy, by looking for things. Yeah. So Google's your friend.
I'm going to tell you something. I had no freaking idea who Bob Backlund was when he showed up in WWE, right? I didn't know. I was a kid. And he wasn't part of the WWE lore that existed. It was all about Hogan growing up. So all of a sudden, this old man comes up, and he wasn't that old. He was in his 40s, right? They told you he's old. They showed you footage that was grainy from the garden with zero lighting. And you're like, oh, this old man has shown up. I had no idea who he was. He wasn't introduced properly. But and then you figure out. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's Bob Backlund. Over time, you learn. So, I mean, listen, I'm not as picky. I let things play out a little bit. And then I reanalyze. I'm like, oh, yeah, that kind of sucked or that worked. Let's talk about this next match here. Ring of Honor TV champion Samoa Joe defends against Juice Robinson.
That's going to be good.
That's going to be a great match. Juice is fantastic. Joe is fantastic. Maybe they take the title off of him and they do something else. And he moves on to being exclusively on Dynamite and feuding with Wardlow. By the way, you want me to talk about something. I hated that Wardlow promo with Joe. I hated that ending to that conversation. It kind of took me out. I'm like, you tell me that Ward Joe sucks, but Wardlow's world is better? Bizarre. Yeah, Wheeler Yuta.
Howie Mandel.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Howie Mandel. ROH Pure Champion Daniel Garcia defends against Wheeler Yuta. This is going to be a fantastic match as well. ROH Women's Champion Mercedes Martinez defends against Athena. All right, I'm looking forward to this. I want to see what Athena could do here.
Yeah.
And you got the ROH World Championship on the line. Chris Jericho defends against Claudio Castagnoli. I would like to have seen Bryan Danielson in this match. Do you put the title back on Claudio? Does Jericho keep it? You know, if you have some sort of TV deal, I think it's way better for Chris Jericho to be your inaugural champion on that first show. And then you take the title off of him in, I don't know, a couple of weeks. You could do something on TV or whatever streaming platform you're going to be on. My big question here is, do we finally get some sort of guidance as to where Ring of Honor's headed? Because I don't want to see another year of this on Dynamite. I between CM Punk's injury, Cody leaving, ROH being on TV, Kenny Omega not being in AEW for like 8 months, then coming back and having the fight and being off TV for another 2 months. There was so much chaos that I would like them to go back to 2021 without the distractions here. And I think ROH, for many, and including myself at moments, it is a distraction from the main product. You know, Chris Jericho their world champion right now? Because it surely looks like that every week when he comes out and gets the reaction he's getting. And I felt that for a while, that, you know, Chris Jericho's a special attraction for them. He has a title on him. You know, I get there is way too many title belts on that TV. Everybody has some sort of title belt. So really, it takes away from the main focus for me. Again, this is my opinion. You don't have to agree with it. This is how I feel. Do I dislike Chris Jericho's ROH champion? I don't entirely disagree with you. Should you not have Chris Jericho on TV every week with that title? No, I'm not saying that. But when you have ROH every single week,
What it could be is trying to incentivize it, because this is the time of year where all the major media companies are wrapping up their budgets and figuring out how much they can spend.
Of course, you hit the nail on the head. That's the whole purpose of this. More value. And when you have something on national TV that never got exposure before. Ring of Honor has never gotten any exposure ever that they've had without even having a TV. By being a dead product, they've had more exposure.
And when you look at, this has been the most successful year probably in Ring of Honor history, which is ridiculous when you think about it. But under the ownership of Tony Khan, ROH has been suffering a bit of the UWF effect when Crockett bought UWF. But UWF had their own TVs. They had their own programs, their own stories. But when you started putting things together and blending things together, UWF and the NWA, it started conflating things. But the one thing Tony hasn't done is turn the ROH guys into job guys. He's kind of done the reverse.
No, he's made them look strong, which is great, which is a positive. He hasn't. But you're absolutely right. He hasn't made them look like a lower-end product. He's always positioned Ring of Honor as, this is the wrestler's promotion. You know,
and
Claudio,
I think it annoys people.
For what? That he hasn't buried him, or that fact?
No,
that
like he's not focusing on the AEW brand, and he's been pushing the ROH brand so much. I think that you have to look at it like, I think Tony Khan was trying to get a deal from the moment he bought Ring of Honor, and I think a lot of things stood in the way of that were not in his control, that are because of just the way the media world has been in 2020.
The Turner upside down, the merger, again, there will be a story one day that comes out, whether or not it pays off for AEW in the end, but there will be a story about this merger and the effects on, you know, AEW, long-term, short-term, because, you know, I could tell you firsthand, I know many people that were in that company on the Warner side of things that were champions for Ring of Honor, for AEW. One of my good friends, he's gone. That was there for almost 15 years. And, you know, and I'm not saying that this guy was in a key position to make anybody think any different about AEW, whether they like it or not, in on the Warner side. However, if you have enough people regurgitating the same thing about how important this is, especially to your sales staff, I know another person on the sales team in the initial concept that they may go on Turner. This guy was a major vocal person about getting them on and being able to sell that time slot. If those people are not there, that is not a positive for you. I'm not saying that that has happened. I'm sure there are people on the Discovery side that love AEW as well. But,
before we go to break, I want to make this point real quick.
Yeah.
Why was Ring of Honor bought by Sinclair Broadcasting Group?
They needed product in their local markets to sell ads on.
They needed content that was cheap to make, affordable to make, that you can plug in places where you didn't want to buy the Goldbergs or Family Matters or Seinfeld. This pro wrestling is that, and it's a value prop.
Yes, but if
so
you can't
for
make
HBO
money,
Max,
if you can't make money, that's
Bleacher
a problem.
Bleacher Report has this streaming service that only exists for AEW pay-per-views. If you gave people a reason to go to it, like a Ring of Honor, that's a great value add. Or having it on Max or Discovery Plus, whatever you call it. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about some of the other things that are going on in the world of pro wrestling. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's an NXT show next Saturday as well. And I honestly want to ask you about the King of the Mountain match that's kind of a King of the Mountain match.
We'll do that. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live, final few minutes here of the show. NXT is debuting a new match concept next Saturday at the Deadline Special, the Iron Survivor Challenge. I'm going to read these rules, Matt, and you tell me if this makes sense to you, okay? There will be two matches at Deadline, one for men and one for women, okay? Both these matches will consist of five challengers, two competitors to start, with another competitor entering every 5 minutes until all five competitors are in the match. The person with the most pinfalls in 25 minutes wins the match. A pinfall will score a competitor 1 point, and the person who takes the pinfall has to go into a penalty box for 90 seconds. This is something.
Yeah. So the match is, so it's 5 minutes, then, so 15 minutes. So the match itself is 10 minutes or 25 minutes?
Two competitors to start, another competitor enters every 5 minutes until all five competitors are in the match. The person who wins the most pinfalls in 25 minutes wins. I'm very curious how in the world they're gonna explain this or make it, you know, these new concepts. Sometimes it's almost like King of the Mountain, isn't it?
A little bit, because there's a penalty box, but there's no strapping a belt onto a ladder. It's an Iron Man match, a gauntlet match, and King of the Mountain all put together in some weird blender.
A lot. You know what? Next week when we're back on Sunday, we're gonna break this down for everybody. And I wanted get this in. And I want you guys to think about this. Before we end the show, I want you guys to think about this and send me your opinions of this match. Because I want to hear from everybody as to if they think this will work or not. But, Matt, we're running out of time. It's time
we're
for us to leave. We're out of time, guys. We'll see you all next week on Wrestling Observer Live.